The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
But first, the coronavirus pandemic has caused enormous damage to small businesses, to hospitality and tourism. Airlines have practically ground to a halt, and it has already cost thousands of people in Ireland their jobs, and we haven't even reached the peak of its spread. Its true impact on the world economy won't be known for months to come, but yesterday Davy Stockbrokers predicted that our own economy could contract in 2020 after several years of growth. I'm joined on the line by former Central Bank Governor Patrick Honohan. Patrick, firstly, to put it in context, how serious from an economic point of view is this crisis?
Yeah, it's serious. It's as big as the 2008 crisis, which went into the euro area crisis after that. It's completely different to that crisis, but it's similar in its magnitude. Hard to say now exactly in terms of duration and depth, but it's on the same order.
What about the responses so far, Patrick, in relation to the government and its initiatives that it has put in place so far? They came out with a 3 billion euro package relatively quickly, but very quickly also that really began to look like a drop in the ocean.
You know, for Ireland, it's very interesting contrast with the last time. The last time, cutting back on government spending was an important part of the solution. This time, increasing government spending is an important part of what is needed. And to some extent, I mean, we've seen the government every day on the television doing things, and part of what we've been doing so far has been in the spending space, but there's going to be a lot more needed. And we look, standing back from Ireland and looking around the world, we see, particularly Western Europe and USA, we see even countries that we don't expect to be splashing out money, like Germany, very much in the expansionary mode, seeing that they need to spend in a targeted way on the gaps that are there. The United States, the same thing, and even yesterday, really remarkable measures by the British government, which is not a government that we've seen doing dramatic things in recent months.
But on that point, it's interesting that just not very long ago, there were still rock concerts going on indoors in the UK, and yet yesterday they had moved so quickly from that position that they were able to announce up to 80% of people's incomes where they are furloughed or basically sent home because there isn't work for them to do will be paid by the state. Our government is just saying that they're considering something like that, and they're examining proposals of up to 75%. Would you welcome such a move?
I think the initial measures are very quick to say, look, we find a way of paying people unemployment, job seekers allowance through the firms. That was an initial move, but it wasn't at all enough. And, let me say there are two big things the government, probably three, but the third in a different dimension. Two big things that any government needs to do to face this situation. One is on the macro side. So we have a big loss of output. Everybody can see that. It's easy to see what's caused this problem. A big loss of output in production because of social distancing and the like. Loss of output means loss of income. The government has to deal with redistributing that loss, but it's got to also see, on the macro side, it's got to make sure that there's no amplification of this initial loss, this primary loss of output through, you know, investor confidence, financial frictions, and so forth. And so that's one of the dimensions. And then there's a micro side, and that's what you've been speaking about. I think of it as a micro side. It's to try to ensure that you don't have socially damaging bankruptcy losses, job losses, dead weight, to try to minimize those. And that needs targeted government spending. Now, several governments have started to do that with loans, with loan guarantees, and that's one way of doing it.
The state hasn't guaranteed loans here yet, and there are cheap loans becoming available.
this is the stage that we're in now, that the government must move quickly. And there are some demonstration effects from the other countries. The initiative taken by Sunak to British Chancellor of the Exchequer to pay, as you say, the 80% of lost income up to a threshold, not for high income people. That lifts the sights, I think, of the government. Possibly this is, this is probably more lavish than I would have imagined, but I think the government will definitely need to do more if it's to preserve the fabric of society and the fabric of the economy through this crisis.
What is the danger, Patrick, of this? We may be dealing on and off with different levels of isolation with this virus, possibly for the next 12 months, even if it really drags on. But what is the danger of making mistakes now that could lead to a much longer term economic slump?
Well, this is why I think we need to think of this as something to prevent amplification downwards, so we'll maintain the level of activity as much as possible. And, of course, the government is always constrained by how much can it do. It's going to get into much higher levels of debt. Can it do that? The answer at the moment is, because of the low interest rates, because of, I think we can rely on the ECB to maintain those interest rates at a low level, it has a bigger capacity than before. And also, it's not going to be picked out by skeptical investors against the background of many other countries expanding their debt as well. So it's possible and essential for the government to be ready to do something that it can sustain, as you say, for a year, for 18 months. I think a lot of people will ask themselves, does the UK government really intend to go at this level of intervention for more than three or four months? Chancellor of the Exchequer said yesterday he'd do this scheme for 3 months. 3 months is not going to be enough.
Well,
we've
just
got
on
to plan something that's sustainable for many months into the future.
On that point, on the 80% that the state would pay of in the UK of wages for people in that situation, some figures I heard this morning were that if 1% of the British workforce took it up, it would cost £1 billion. So if 20% took it up, it would cost £20 billion, and that's for 3 months. So they're getting into enormous figures. We may end up getting into very significant levels of borrowing. What are the implications of that? And should EU institutions not actually borrow the money collectively?
Let me say two things about that. First of all, yes, EU institutions collectively, this is a definite, this is a way to go. It's not easy to get agreement on that because there's still a scepticism between the more fiscally conservative countries and countries with traditions of spending too much. So, I don't have to identify them by name. Just because the German government is willing to spend money itself doesn't mean that it's willing to join up with a Europe-wide effort. And here's where the ECB comes in, though, because its preparedness to intervene in markets, buying government paper to protect the government bond markets from attacks of speculators, I think gives us some assurance that you have a sort of collective European effort there. Of course, the UK is not in the Euro area. It's not in the European Union anymore, so they're on their own. And it'll be important to see the small print on the schemes that they have announced. It's not clear exactly who will be eligible for this 80% subsidy.
There could be a backstop on them, Patrick.
There could be a backstop. There could be a lot of
I know they haven't announced anything for
eligibility requirements and so forth. And I think that's something for our government is to be very, very careful and try to work through exactly what do you intend to do, what can you be sure of, what are you not sure of, and only move forward with what you're sure of. We saw a bit of that last week with the initial pushback from some government departments saying, employers can't pay any more than the job seekers allowance. Oh, no, you'll just pay, you can't have any supplement. Well, that was obviously a bad mistake, but it was corrected very quickly. But they need to be very careful about the details of these.
Patrick Holohan, former governor of the Central Bank, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.